Okay, so we are, again, Yud Aleph Amud Beis, we are starting from what says Amar Rav Huna, about one-third of the way down the page. Okay, so the Gemara says like this, Amar Rav Huna, Lemikra Tzarech Levarech. When it comes to learning psukim, Mikra means, right, the psukim, so Tzarech Levarech, you have to make a Birchas HaTorah. Let's make a Birchas HaTorah, if you're going to learn psukim. But he says, Lemidrash ain't Tzarech Levarech. If you're learning Medrash, what does Medrash mean? So Rashi says, Rashi says Medrash is different. We'll get to the Gemara. We'll get there. Rashi says, I have to find the flip there. Hold on a second. Rashi says it is. I don't have the bold Rashi's. So he says exactly. Medrash is karul mekagon mechilta. Mechilta is the medrash halacha on Shemos. Sifra is the medrash halacha on Vayikra. And Sifrei, that's the medrash halacha on Dvarim, Bamirba Dvarim. So they are the explanation, right? They are the direct discussion of Chazal. They are the direct discussion on the Psukim. So they follow the order of the Parshios, right? That's telling you the Halachos. But it's already a step removed from the very Psukim themselves. So that, according to his opinion, only the Psukim, that has a level of learning. That's the status if you read those where you have to make a bracha. But if you only read the Medrash, they have to make the bracha.
They didn't exist at the time of the Gemara.
They were earlier. They were, yeah. They were originally.
They came after the Gemara.
The Medrash came after the Gemara.
No, those sifra and all that. No, I'm assuming.
No, I don't think so. No, they're not afterwards. So no, they're after the Gemara. No, after the Gemara is already the time of the Gaonim. This is before the time of the Gemara. In fact, This is already the time of Tanaim. Okay. The Medrash Halacha is already the time of the Tanaim, around the same time as the Mishnah. One is directly, though, on the Psukim and discusses the Halachas relevant to those Psukim. So the Gemara then says, so next to him, the Rabbi Elazar Amar, Lemikra Ula Midrash Tzarech Levarech, whether one says Mikra or Medrash, in both cases, Tzarech Levarech, because even the Medrash, he says, that has a direct connection to the Psukim. I mean, if the Psukim are the Ikar, they're the main thing, so they are, at least the Medrash is connected directly to the Psukim. So you make a bracha on that as well.
It's commentary, isn't it?
It's a commentary of Chazal on the Psukim, yeah, exactly. L'halacha, for the law. But, L'mishnah, if you're learning Torah Sheba'al Peh, Mishnah is the, right, Mishnayos, which are halacha, but they are Torah Sheba'al Peh, not directly connected to Psukim. So in that case, you don't make a bracha, according to this opinion. Rabbi Yochan says, no, afla Mishnah, even Torah Sheba'al Peh, Mishnah, nami tzarech levarech, you do have to make a bracha. Aval l'talmud, ein tzarech levarech. When it comes to Talmud, our learning Gemara, you don't have to make the bracha. Finally, the Rava Amar, and Rava says, Af l'talmud tzarech levarech. Even for learning Gemara, you have to make a bracha. And here Rashi also has a good comment. Rashi says, Af l'gemara tzarech levarech, Shehu ikar ha-Torah. This is the main part of Torah learning. She mimeno hora yotza. Because if you want to know halacha l'masa, you have to learn Gemara. If you want to know the final, discussion of how that acts, you can't just read the Mishnah alone. You have to learn the Gemara. Why? Rashi continues to explain. What does Gemara mean? He defines. What does it mean, Gemara? Why is Gemara different than Mishnah? So Gemara hainu svaras ta'amei ha-Mishnah. The Gemara delves into the reasoning, the understanding behind why we have the halachos of the Mishnah as they are. And furthermore, v'teirutei Mishnayos. Sometimes you have two Mishnayos which contradict each other, or seemingly contradict each other, and you need the Gemara's explanation to properly understand the Mishnah in its place, what it means to say, because on the surface, sometimes two Mishnayos are contradictory. So without the Gemara, you wouldn't know what to do. And furthermore, the chasuri mechzara. And there are times where we say chasuri mechzara, the Mishnah, the language of the Mishnah is shortened. And there's actually extra lines you have to read into the Mishnah to properly understand it. Again, all of this comes out of learning the Gemara. So that's why he said, this final opinion of Rava is even the Talmud, and certainly the Talmud, because Talmud is then the ikur of the learning, the main of learning, you have to make a bracha, a birchas Torah. And he brings a proof to Amr of Chia Bar Ashi, Zimnin Sagiyan Havi Kaiminda Kame Derav. There were times that we went, Chia Bar Ashi says, there were times we went to learn in front of Rav, Litzmei Pirkin B'Sifra, and he would teach us his learning of the Sifra. Now, and what we'll get the Sifra de Beirav. He would teach us the learning of the Sifra. Remember, the Sifra was the Medrash of Beirav. We'll get to this point. So, Havi Makdim, what he would do is Vika Mashia, that he would first get up and he would wash his hands, Ubarich, and he would make the Birchas HaTorah, and he would make those Brachos, Umas Nilan Pirkin, and then he would teach us the Torah that he wants to teach us. Now, you were trying to bring a proof that you learned Talmud. So the story that we just quoted is that he was teaching them Sifra. Sifra was the Medrash, not the Talmud. So one of two things. So either some people take out from this Girsa, they take out from the text of the Gemara here the word Sifra, because if they were teaching Sifra, that wouldn't be a proof that you have to make a bracha, a Birchas HaTorah on Gemara. It would only be a proof they have to make a Birchas HaTorah on Medrash. Or the explanation is that when Rav was teaching Sifra, the Bei Rav, it wasn't just the Sifra that they all knew, but it was a discussion in the Beis Medrash that would further and deepen the discussion that was quoted in the Medrash to better understand the reasoning, the logic, the understanding, what the underpinnings of that halacha were, just like the Gemara that we have in front of us. So that was a deeper level discussion, and that is the proof that they would make a Birchas HaTorah even on Gemara. Obviously, halacha l'maisa, we make a Birchas HaTorah for any of the things that we would learn. As you know, in the morning, we make a Birchas, after Birchas HaTorah, do three things. We read Psukim, we read Mishnah, and we read Gemara. We quote from three different places in the morning after we make the Birchas HaTorah. Right?
But that Birchas HaTorah for the rest of the day.
Which we will correct. It's good for the whole day long, which we're going to discuss, actually, for the Tosfos on our page. We're going to talk about that. Actually, let's open up the text, because what we're about to launch into is a discussion of what are the Birchas HaTorah. So again, we'll quote it in the Gemara, and we'll look here for in a second. But as you know, after we finish making the Birchas HaTorah, we say three things. We say the Pesukim, we say the Birchas Kohanim, Yivarech Hashem Yishmerecha, the Birchas Kohanim. We say a Mishnah and Peah, Eilu Dvarim Shem Lem Shur, and we say a Gemara and Shabbos, Eilu Dvarim Shem Chaper Sam B'Lam Adah, Rav Shal Adem Chaper Sam. So we immediately launch into three different things: Pesukim, Mikra, Mishnah, and Gemara. Okay, we go into all of them. In order to immediately, right, as soon as we make the bracha, we want to learn without any hesek, we want any interruption. Okay, so the Gemara now, so we're about to do is we're going to quote, what are the Birchas HaTorah? And we'll see how close it comes to what we have in front of us over here. Okay, so my Mivarech, so the answer is Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, one says, Asher K'dishan of Mitzvosa V'tzivanu Lasok V'divrei Torah. That's our first bracha, right? Lasok b'divrei Torah. That's our first bracha. Rav Yochan the Messiah b'hachi. Rav Yochan would end the bracha as follows: Ha'arevna, Hashem Elkeinu as divrei Saras chabafinu. Hashem should make the words of Torah ha'arei right sweet in our mouth. Ubefifios amcha beis Yisrael in the mouths of all of Bnei Yisrael. V'nihiyah anachnu us. It should be that us we. V'tzetzeinu, and our offspring, v'tzetzei amcha beis Yisrael, and also the offspring of all b'nei beis Yisrael, kulanu yodei shemecha, they all should know your name, v'oskei sorasecha, and they should be oseg, they should involve in your Torah. Baruch atah Hashem ha-melamed Torah la'amo Yisrael. We have a very similar text. We have, b'finu b'fi amcha beis Yisrael b'nei anachnu, we have a slightly different way. Do you have which?
We finish.
And then the final bracha we have is Rav Hamnuna Amar. Rav Hamnuna says, "Asher bachar banu mikol ha'amim, Nasalanu es Toraso. Baruch Atah Hashem Nosein HaTorah. This is now, it seems like, a third bracha. So there's a discussion in general in the Rishonim as to how many brachas the Torah there are. So this is the first, this is the last one, right? This is number three, it seems like. When it says Rabbi Yochanan is Messiah, but when we said that Rabbi Yochanan, if you look here, there's two paragraphs, right? Look, there's, we have the first paragraph of the bracha of Hashiksham, the last of the Divrei Torah, and then we have V'ha'arevna. So the question is V'ha'arevna a new bracha, or just the siyum, the end of the first bracha, so that's a complete bracha which begins with a bracha and ends with a bracha. So if it's considered to be just considered the ending of the first bracha, so you would say Vav, it's a continuation, V'ha'arevna. In our Gemara, the gears that we have is Ha'arevna, without the Vav. Ha'arevna, if it's a new idea, you would not put the Vav there, and it would be a second bracha, which is, again, smuchel chaverta, be a connection to the bracha came before it, but it would be considered a third bracha. Some say the reason why it's a third bracha is that we have Mikra, Mishnah, and Gemara. We then go ahead and we quote three different things, Mikra, Mishnah, and Gemara, that each, we have three brachos and three things that we say, one for each of the brachos. Okay, so Amr of Hamnuna, Rav Hamnuna says, Zohi me'ula she brachos. This last bracha is the greatest of the brachos. Hilkach, Limrinhu Lakul. Therefore, we should say all of them. Okay, so why is it the Mu'ula Sheba Brachos? So Rashi says it's because it's the greatest of the Brachos of the Torah. Rashi's Lafishi Yeshba Hoda Lamakum. It has a special thanks to Hashem. The Kilus Latorah Liyisrael. And also says how great Bnei Yisrael is and the Torah. Because we're saying, Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Amim. There was something unique about why Hashem gave the Torah to us of all the nations. The Nasan Lanu Es Torah. So he gave us his Torah, his own knowledge. So that's something about us and about the connection we have to the Torah. That's why it's the Me'ula. It's the greatest of the Brachos. Now, first of all, if it's the greatest of the Brachos, I would say, the conclusion of the Gemara is, if we had different options, and he said, well, this is the greatest of the Brachos, I would say, therefore, let's say this one. Yeah. But the Gemara says, Filkach, Lemrinu, Lekulu, therefore say all of them. So interesting, I think it's the Rashash, he points out that historically it seems like there was actually, these are different people from different generations. Rav Hamnuna is not the same generation as Shmuel and Rav Yochanan. So it sounds like previously in the earlier generations, they only said the first of the brachos here. They said the first part of Lasek B'Divrei Torah, and they said V'ha'arevna. They said the next part of the bracha, which ends Hamalamit Harlam Yisrael. Subsequently, Rav Hamnuna formulated another bracha to add to this, and because it was so great, they said, we're not going to obviously stop saying what they already were saying previously, but they will add this new bracha onto what was said before. So therefore, Hilkach, Limrinhu Lakuhu. Therefore, we should say all of these brachos, because his new addition is so spectacular, can't leave it, we can't leave it out, we're going to add that into what was already in previous generations of Amoraim and Tanaim, what they would say earlier, what they had said earlier. Okay, so before we continue, there is a Tosus which touches on, I think it was what Meirami said. Okay, so look at it. There's this long Tosus of Shefar Niftar. So in the middle of that Tosus, the long Tosus in the middle of the page, Tosus asks the question, which is, it starts, there's a period, and it says, Ve'im Tomar, about midway through. That's what mine has. Oh, here. Ve'im Tomar. Okay. And I'll read slowly inside and outside. Ve'im Tomar. Did you have it? No, Inami. You see Ve'im Tomar? Hard to find upside down. Maybe it's Ve'im Tomar, Mishna. Maybe this one. Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm. That's it. Okay, so Tosus asks, you ready? Tosus is like this. It says, Mishna, it's okay. Well, no, you're going to follow because I'm going to say it clearly. I'm going to read it clearly. We're definitely going to follow. So, okay, it's Ve'im Tomar. If you ask, Mishna Misuka, Shetzarach Levaracha Kol Su'uta V'Su'uda Leishe V'Suka. Why is the Bracha Satorah, which we say how many times a day? Once in the morning, that's it. Why is it any different than Sukkah? Because when it comes to Sukkah, we also make a Bracha. Every time we sit in the Sukkah, before we eat, we say Leishe V'Suka. And if you leave the Sukkah, and you come back for after breakfast, you say Leisha B'Sotah, you come back for lunch, you make another bracha of Leisha B'Sotah. And when you come back later on for a snack, you make another you make another Leisha B'Sotah. And when you come back for dinner, make another Leisha B'Sotah. How come when it comes to the bracha, which is made on the mitzvah of sukkah, we make a new one every time we go in and out? Whereas by Torah, right, you go ahead and you learn something in the morning, and you take a break, and you go off to work, and you come back Thursday night, and you learn on the chuli. Why don't we make another bracha of the Torah when we come back to learn later on? And you go back home, and you learn something later on, tell your wife what you learned in the shiur tonight, and you don't tell her, you'll make another bracha of the Torah. So why is it the difference between sukkah and learning Torah? Tosis answers the Yesh Lomar. Tosis says we could say the following: the shiny Torah. Torah is unique. She'enu miyayish daito dechosha adam mechuyev lomod. When it comes to learning Torah, there's never a moment of the day where you could not or you should not have been learning Torah. Every moment, you don't give up your thought of learning Torah, because every moment you should be learning Torah. Every moment you could at that moment learn Torah. Okay, we're going to clarify this a little more. At any moment, meaning it's not as though there's a time where you've satisfied the requirement. When it comes to sukkah, we know there's an obligation to have something in the sukkah on the first night of sukkah. After that, you don't have to have anything. But certainly, once you did it, you're done. You don't have to do it again. You know, there's no obligation to come back for lunch in the sukkah if you don't have to. If you're not hungry, it's not required. So when it comes to learning Torah, every moment of the day, it's continuous. There's no, meaning the fact that you might go to work isn't a break in the mitzvah. The mitzvah is continuous all day long and devolves upon a person from morning until the next morning. It doesn't stop at all. So therefore, because it says in the pasuk, the yisabo yomam v'layla, a person should learn Torah day and night. So in that case, havi kemo yoshev kol hayom below hefek. Therefore, as if a person would sit all day long without any break. That's the idea. Meaning, the fact that you have a continuous mitzvah all day long, it's like you had no break. Now let's just clarify this a little bit more. So let's kind of sharpen it a little bit. The Rush, which I'll read to you, the Rush has a little bit of a similar language. He says like this: Mikomakom mistaber shebnei adam sheregilim tamid lasuk b'Torah. Those people who are constantly learning. What do you mean? They're constantly learning. Shafilu keshiyotin lasuk leiskan leskehem. Even when they're going out to get involved in whatever they're doing in the world, they're going to work, they're going to eat, whatever they have to do. They're going to hang out with their kids. Whatever they have, lots of things they're getting involved with. But mimaharim lasuk tarchehem, they hurry to finish what they need to accomplish outside of learning. Kedei lachzor v'lilmod, in order to go back and return to their learning. Hilka, so therefore v'tamid da'atam al limudam. Therefore, their mind is always on their learning. V'lo chashev hefsek le'inim bracha. And therefore, the fact that they stopped after, you know, you went to davening, you said some sukkim, and then you went out to work, but their whole time, their mind was thinking, okay, I have, you know, it's like you always check, you have during the day, you have a WhatsApp reminding, okay, you know, this is on the schedule tonight. In the middle of your workday, you get like these WhatsApp notifications on what the Beis Medrash is learning that night. You're always waiting to get back to the next learning opportunity. And since you're waiting to get back to the next learning opportunity, you haven't really had a hefsek, any break in your learning, because you were simply going off to go ahead and do other things, but your mind never lost track of what its primary involvement was. That's one edge of it, and we'll continue a little bit more. There's a Gemara in Menachos, Daf Tzadi Tesvav Beis, which says, it discusses the pasuk of Yigisa Boyom V'Laylo V'Loyomash Sefer Torah Zamipicha, you're going to constantly learn Torah. So the Gemara here records a question. It says, Shal Ben Dama Ben Achoso Shabi Yishmal Esher Yishmal. So Ben Dama, so he asks, he was the son of the sister of Rabbi Yishmal. So he asked his uncle, Kigon Ani Shlamati Kol Torah Kula. He says, you know, I learned the whole Torah. So Ma'u Lomo Chachma Yavanis. What about me? Can I study Greek knowledge? Because I've already learned the whole Torah. So Karilav Hamikra Zest, Rabbi Yishmal responds to him with the following pasuk: Lo Yamush Sefer Torah Zemi Picha. The Torah should never leave your lips. V'Higisabo Yom and Valayla. You should learn from it day and night. So he says you should learn from it day and night. He says Sei Ubadok. Go and find Shah Shein Alomin Hayom, Valomin Alayla. You find the part of the day, my nephew, which is not day and not night. And for that part, you can then learn Chacham Yevanis in that non-existent time, because all day and all night, the obligation is to constantly learn Torah. Now there is a language in Chazal which says that bitula hi kiyuma, that the bitul of Torah is the establishment of Torah. What does that mean? That the mevatel Torah is what establishes Torah. So there's a discussion. The Chazal says, you know, the Gemara wonders. You know, we do mitzvos and we learn Torah. There's limud and there's lasos. There's also to do. So the Gemara wants to know which is greater, maaseh or talmud. Which is greater, the action of doing mitzvos or the talmud? So you know what the Gemara answers?
Talmud
is greater. Why? Shemevi lidei maaseh. So it's a little confusing because the Talmud is greater because it leads to Masa. So that sounds like Masa is really greater because the Talmud only leads to Masa. The answer I heard, the answer I think it's one of the well-known answers that's given, explanations I should say, is that there's Masa. Masa is to do the mitzvot. And there's learning, which by itself is just to learn Torah. But if the learning, so when you just do mitzvot and don't understand what they are, that's definitely an important level. And if you learn, and the learning is just superficial, you're just learning without doing, that's also a level. But the greatest level is to learn Torah in such a way that it brings one to act. It brings you to do mitzvot. It's not just the learning that stays here on the page, stays here in the Beis Medrash, and that's it. When you walk out, the learning's over. But that when you leave the Beis Medrash, it impacts everything else that you do throughout the day. So that if you learn, when you learn in the morning, and you go out to business, your business, as a businessman, as a businessman who is following as learning should be different than a regular business guy in the street who sometimes will do unscrupulous things, or it impacts how you speak. It impacts how you interact with other people during the day. It impacts how you eat. Every moment of your day is really raising the level of your Talmud, because the Talmud that you had brought you to act in a totally different function. That's Talmud Hamevi Lidei Masa. It's a type of learning which spurs one to action, spurs one to change how they act during their day. It causes them to do mitzvot. That's an elevation, that's a crown of how great your learning was, how great your Torah was. And so therefore, the fact that we go off into our work and we're mevatel Torah by not technically learning on the page, but we're mekayim that Torah all throughout our day, and therefore all day long there's no break in our Torah. Whether we're acting in a way that's consistent with our learning or they're actually learning, it's all the same. It's all continuous. And therefore, there is no hefsek all day long. And we are yotze, the mitzvah of learning, with just one bracha. Even though we started in the morning, we come back tonight to learn again, we are still fulfilling the initial bracha that we made in the morning. Because all day long, the type of people we were and what we did and how we acted, how we spoke, how we talked, how we interacted, that was something that was defined by what we learned. And it's not independent of it, and therefore is one continuous process. Okay. That's the interesting discussion of tonight. We'll continue to now the Gemara. So we're up to two dots. Two dots, two-thirds down the page. The Gemara quotes Mishnah in the Seches Tamid. It says, Tnan Hasan. We learn the Mishnah in the Seches Tamid, the Mishnah in the Tamid. The Tamid is the korban that was brought once in the morning, once in the afternoon. And the Mishnah is there discussed the process of what they were doing, everything around the process of bringing the Korban Tamid. So it explains that the group of Kohanim that were involved in sacrificing the Korban Tamid, they actually cut short their davening and their in the morning so that they could hastily and most quickly complete the avodah that they have to do. So it says, Amar lehem ha-mamuna. The mamuna, which is the Rashi, the skan Kohanim, the vice president of the Kohanim, so he would say to the group of Kohanim serving in the Beis Mikdash at that time, he would say, Barchu bircha achas, make one of the two birchas Kriya Shema. And we know there's two birchas Kriya Shema, which we had discussed in last Sunday's shir. And the one is Yotzer, one is Ahav Rabba, so here we can look at them. So in the morning you say, Hameir la'aret, which is the bracha called Yotzer Or, okay? Because the Yotzer Avari Choshech, and then you have the bracha of Ahava Rava. I'm looking at the back of the Quran. Here we go. Here we go. Ahava Rava is the second bracha of Kriya Shema. Okay. Yeah. Yotzer HaMe'oros, this is the bracha of Yotzer Or, which starts Yotzer Or in the beginning, and Ahav Rab is number two. So what they would do is they only would say one of those two. They would kind of shorten, because they're trying to cut short what they would have to say and to the minimum, and they can go continue with their avoda, they continue with serving the sacrifice in the Beis Mikdash. Okay, so they would, the Himbarchu, Vikaru Aseres Debros. They would actually say the bracha, and they would then also read the Aseres Debros after the bracha. We don't have this in our Kriyasha in the morning. We don't say the Aseres Debros, but they actually said the Aseres Debros in their right after their Birchas Kriyashma. Then they would say Shema, V'haya im Shamoa, and Vayomer. They would say the three paragraphs of Kriyashma. Then Ubarchu es ha'am. Rashi says here, explains, you translate as Barchu ima'am. They would make the bracha with the rest of the people there. What would they say? Gimel brachos, three brachos. Emes v'yatziv v'avoda. They would say the bracha of emes v'yatziv, which we say after Kirshma, and they would say the bracha of the avoda. Okay, that's most people understanding to be the bracha in Shemona Esrei of the end Ritzei, right? Bracha of Ritzei. And then you make the bracha of on the avoda, on the actual the serving in the of the avoda in the Beis Mikdash. And then finally, they would make the birchas kohanim. They would say the actual birchas kohanim after that. And if it was Shabbos that they were bringing the korban tamid, mosifim bracha achas lemishmar hayotze. They would add one more bracha for the group, for the mishmar, for the watch that was leaving. What does that mean? So we know that they split the kohanim, all the families of kohanim, into 24 mishmaros. And during the course of the year, which was generally 48 weeks, they would each serve twice, one week at a time, twice during the year in the Beis Mikdash. And what the time they would switch is on Shabbos. So then the beginning of Shabbos, the first part of the Yom, the Korban Tam in the morning, and the Korban of the Musaf, so the last group would, like the previous week's group, would bring the Korban. The new group was there already on Shabbos, the group that would be there for the following week, and they would start in the afternoon with the Korban Tam, which shall be in Harbayim, and they would bring that Korban. So you had a meeting point in the afternoon where one group was leaving and one group was coming, and they would make a bracha for that group as they were leaving, and we'll see what that bracha is in a minute. So my bracha achas. So the question is, they said one of the two brachas of Kriya Shema before they said Kriya Shema. The question is, which one of the two did they say? So Kihad Rabbi Abi and Abba, Rabbi Yossi, Bar Abba, Iklu Laho Atra, they went to a certain place, and Bo Minayhu, they asked them, my bracha achas, what was the bracha that they said? The Vlaha Vibiyadayhu, and they didn't know. They didn't know. They know the answer. So what do you do when you don't know the answer? You ask another rabbi. So Vatu Shailul the Rav Masna. They then asked Rav Masna which bracha was the one that they said. V'lo Habibiyadeh. And Rav Masna didn't know. So what do they do? They ask a third rabbi. The point is you don't stop. You have to keep asking until you get the answer. So Vatu Shailul the Rav Yehuda. The Rav Yehuda had the answer. Amr Lehu Hachi Amr Shmuel. Shmuel told us the following. They would say the bracha of Ahava Rabba. They said the second bracha of Krishna. The Amr, now that's one opinion, that's Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. The Amr Rabbi Zerika, Amr Rabbi Ami, Amr Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Yotzer Or. According to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Lakish, they actually said the first bracha of Kriya Shema of Yotzer Or. So the Gemara now points out, Ki Atzer Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef came, Amr, he said, Hazur Zikra Lav Beserish Idmar. The statement of Rav Zerika that they said in the name of Rav Shimon Lakish that he would say Yotzer Or. They said, meaning these Kohanim in the Beis Mikdash, they said the first bracha of Kriya Shema of Yotzer Or. He didn't say it Beferish. He didn't give it to us as a direct statement. Instead, Michlala Idmar. We can infer from a different statement of his what the answer was in this case. The Amr of Zerika, Amr of Yami, Amr of Shimon Lakish. Zos Omeris, the fact that the Kohanim only said one bracha of Kriya Shema, he commented on that fact. The fact that they only said one, he's commented on that and said, must be, we learn from here, brachos ein ma'akla zuzu. One bracha does not prevent the other from being said. Meaning, if you only can say one, you don't have to leave them both out. You could say one without the other. One is not ma'akev. One does not inhibit the other one from being said, if you can only say one of the two. So, what do we learn from here? So, I Amris, Bishlama, Yotzer, it makes sense if they only said the first bracha of Kriya Shema of Yotzer, or Havi Amri that they only said that one. Hainu de brachos imach vizuzu. Then I can infer that one bracha does not prevent the other from being said. Velokai Amri Ahav Rabba, because I know they only said one and not the other. Because they could have said both. Meaning, if you're going to say Yotzer Or, the bracha of Yotzer Or, you could have said the second bracha of Ahava Rabba. And the fact that they didn't shows me that you only have to, you don't have, if you only can say one, that's permissible. And the fact that you couldn't say the second one does not inhibit, does not prevent you from saying the first one. So again, it's that they said the first one and did not say the second one. But what about the opposite possibility? Eli Amris, on the top of the next page of your basement house, Eli Amris Ahava Rabba, if you want to tell me that they said Ahava Rabba, the second brach of Kriyat Shema, Hava Amre, my brachos emakhu zuzu. What does it mean that one bracha is not ma'akev, does not prevent the recitation of the second one? Why is that? Why is that a problem? Dilma hai delo amri yotzer or. The fact that they only said the second bracha of Krishma and not the first bracha of Krishma of yotzer or, that might be mishum delo matiz man yotzer or. It could be that it wasn't the time to say yotzer or. What do you mean the time to say yotzer or? Yotzer or was said when the morning. Once there was light, it could be they were doing this so early in the morning that they had yet to see light was not yet shining, and therefore they couldn't yet say that bracha. Oh. So therefore they would say it later, right? V'chimat tizma'i tz'or havi amri. So they eventually would say both brachos. They eventually would say both. It could be the reason why they only said one is that the kohanim was reason. They were very early in the morning, and they started at an hour that was before the light was shining. The sun was up. And therefore, they were saying the bracha of Ahava Rabba, but not yet the bracha of Yotzer Or. So therefore, they would say Yotzer Or a little bit later on. Just like a little bit later in the morning. And eventually that means they said both. So that doesn't show me that the two brachas are ma'akim, that one prevents the other, because you're going to say both eventually, not just one. So it must be, the inference is, that I learned it from that they only said the first of the brachos, not the second. Okay, so Gemara says, v'im b'cholamai. So what about the fact that I learned this from an inference and not from a direct statement? What's the point of that? The answer is, v'im b'cholala, if it is from inference, l'olam, I could have given, the fact that it's an inference, I can ask a question on it. If I tell you something directly, I'm going to tell you something, right? And I tell you a direct statement, very clear. You can't ask questions on it. I mean, you can ask questions in general whether I'm right or not, but you can't ask a question about what I meant, what I said, what my opinion was. I stated my opinion, and it's clear as day. Whatever. If I tell you that I think, this Gemara is the best one I've ever learned, Brachos is the best, better than Makkos last year, you might disagree, but if you want to know my opinion, my opinion is clear. If, however, what I'm saying is that you learn from the fact that it seems like I'm more upbeat this year than I was last year, maybe you get an inference that I was I enjoy brachos more. You can ask the question. You can ask the question on the inference, which is what we're about to do. So im b'chola, if it's only an inference that we're learning in the name of Rav Zrika, then la'olam, I'm going to give you an answer. I'm going to try and prove to you that you cannot show and you can't learn anything from this statement, and you can't learn any inference from it. Why? Because la'olam ahava rabba haviyami. Maybe the Kohanim only said Ahav Rabba. They only said the second of the brachos. Okay. V'chimata zman yotzer or havi amri lei. And they would say yotzer or later on. And what does it mean? My brachos emach zuazu. Remember, Rabbi Zurika's statement, the statement which we're trying to make an inference from was, he said, we see from here that one bracha does not prevent the other from being said. Now, what does it mean? If they're going to say yotzer or eventually later on, what does it mean that one bracha does not prevent the other from being said? The answer is, say the brachos, that the order of the brachos does not prevent you from saying them. Meaning, we have the first bracha number one, Yotzer Or. Bracha number two, Ahava Rabba. But the order, the sequence, is not required. And therefore, they were able to switch them, the Kohanim, and if it was very, very early in the morning, they were starting their avoda, they would first say Ahava Rabba, which is bracha number two, and only afterwards say bracha number one. So you can... The point is that what Zerika meant was that you can invert the sequence of the brachos, but certainly you still have to say both of them together. You can't just say one of the two. You eventually have to say both. But the order can be inverted.
Why? A minute distance between the first one. Why switch them?
Because they were starting early, and they didn't want to wait. They were not
going. 1 minute.
Even 1 minute, that was the case, because the avodah is waiting. Hashem is waiting for the korban to be brought. You're not going to sit around and wait, counting 60 seconds. Okay, the Gemara continues. So let's get to the next two dots before Ma'ariv. The Gemara says, we're now, again, two dots. The first one in the line is the Korin. The continuation of this Mishnah, we have learned that the Kohanim in the Beis Mikdash, it says, Korin Aseres HaDibros. They would say the Aseres HaDibros after the Birchas Kriya Shema. Then they said Shema, V'Hayayim Shemoa, and Vayomer, which are the three paragraphs of Shema. They then said Emesu Yatsiv, V'Avoda U'Birchas Kohanim. Amr, so now here we have the same of the Gemara. Amr of Yehuda Amr Shmuel. Af Bigvulin, Bikshu Likros came. You know something? They liked the minhag of saying the Aseres HaDibros. It was such a nice thing to say it after Kriya Shema, after the Birchas Kriya Shema, before you actually say Kriya Shema. They liked that custom. It was so nice. They said, you know what I'm saying? Let's try and do it everywhere. They wanted to institute the recitation of the Aseres HaDibros everywhere in Eretz Israel, not just in the Beis Mikdash. But they did not do so. Elish Shikvar Bitlum, they prevent them from doing so mitnei ter omes haminim. Because of the questions, the arguments of the heretics, what would they do? These minim, Rashi explains, what they would say is they would tell people who weren't very learned, they'd say, you know something? You know what the main part of Torah is? The truth of the Torah? Just as Aseres HaDibros. The rest of the Torah, it's fake. Why? Because you see that in Kriya Shema, what part of the Torah do we read? Only the Aseres HaDibros. That was the custom that they were trying to institute. And that was the only part of Torah that you actually heard from God. The rest of the Torah Moshe made up. They didn't hear from God. The rest of it was just from Moshe. So the heretics were using a proof. Look, how I can prove to you that what Moshe told you, that was fake. What you heard from God directly, that Aseres HaDibros, that's real. So just keep the Aseres HaDibros. Don't keep anything else. Why? Because if you look at your own davening, you have Aseres HaDibros right before Kriya Shema. Nothing else. So that's why they didn't want to institute saying Kriya Shema, saying Aseres HaDibros all around Israel. Because the heretics would use it as a wedge. They would use it as an argument to tell people only have to keep the Ten Commandments and nothing else. That's it. Okay, and we have other examples here. Tanya Namihachi, Rav Nassan, Omer Bigvulin, Bishul Likros Kain, and also Rav Nassan had the same statement that they learned, tried to institute this minog of Aseres HaDibros all of Israel. Elishikvar Bitlam Mikne Teromas Haminim, but they canceled this custom because, again, of the arguments of these heretics. Rabbi Rachana Savrila Mikinhu Besura, Rabbi Rachana would try to institute this custom in Surah, in the city of Surah. Relayer Chista, no, you can't do that. Kfar Bitlum, they canceled this, negated this custom, Mipnei Teromas Haminim, because of, the question of the heretics. Amemar Savrila Mikinhu Binaharda, Amemar tried to establish this as a custom in the city of Naharda. Okay, this is in Babel, by the way, this is all in Babel. Amrlei Ravashi Kvar Bitlum Mipnei Teramas Haminim, and Ravashi says also that they cancel it because of, again, the Teramas Haminim. Let's get one more two lines. We have 2 minutes. So again, this was the custom in the Beis Hamikdash, which the Qur'an did, but there's a reason why we did not promulgate this custom everywhere else, even though it was very nice, because again, it led to an opportunity for the heretics to question our Torah. Okay. We had end off by saying that on Shabbos, remember there was a handoff of the guard from one mishmar from the previous week to the new mishmar of the subsequent week. U'b'Shabbos mosifin bracha achas l'mishmar hayotzei. They would add a bracha to the group that was leaving. My bracha achas, what was the bracha that they would say? It's Amr of Chelbo, mishmar hayotzei, omer l'mishmar hanichnas. The mishmar that was leaving would say to the group that was coming in, Misha Shikin, the one who dwells in this house, who Yashkin Benechem Ahava V'Achva V'Shalom Berius. He should cause to dwell among you love, Ahava, Achva, brotherly love, Shalom, peace, and Reus, and friendship among you. Which is, by the way, the bracha we make, one of the Shara brachos, right? This is one of the Shabbos. Say, Ava v'Yachva v'Shalom v'Reyos. This is what we also wish the Chassan and Kala that they should have in their house as well. So this is what they would say. They would wish. Correct. This is one of the things that they would end the week with. and wish the group coming in that they should have this peace and shalom, just like it exists in the Beis Hamikdash, it should exist among them as well. Okay, we'll stop over here. Yashar Koyach.